Hey, we're here to talk about stuff and things and movies and other lies.
What are we?
This is Kung Fu Theater.
Oh, that's
cash and checks and breaking necks.
All right.
I said that today, and King Don said, you got to use that on your podcast, so
oh,
well, I am.
There you go.
My name's Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And this is Kung Fu Theater, where we talk all about Kung Fu.
Because I came here to chew gum and kick butt, and I'm all out of gum.
You're all out of gum, yeah.
That's a different word, but, you know, not gum either. But,
oh, PG-13. You're so crazy.
We're not even PG-13.
We're like G. Yeah.
We're G.
Golly jeepers. That's
golly
what we are.
G.
What movie have you chosen for us this week, Dr. Morbius?
Oh, man. A movie that I hope you watched more intently than I did. It's not a bad movie. I like the people in it. It's The Legendary Strike with... Angela Mao and Carter Wong. Which was in last week's movie, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
Carter Wong also went under the name Casanova Wong. That's what I read somewhere. He goes, really? He was also Casanova Wong?
That's awesome. You could see probably like a young Chinese dude. He's like, I'm so hot, dude. I'm going to be Casanova Wong. You could tell he was like... He was full of himself, man. He knew he was so pretty. It's so funny, man.
Apparently, he has an instructional from an old instructional karate tape or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love
Carter
to see that.
Yeah.
He's quickly becoming a favorite of mine. Like,
he's been in three movies so far.
I'm sure, way more than that. He falls under that thicker Chinese guy.
Yeah,
there's huge fat dudes. There's muscular dudes, and then there's the 99%
Bolo
that are about 68 pounds soaking wet that just do a lot of moves and, you know, stuff like that.
Carter's a little, you know, beefier than
I him. Will say this. When I got done watching this movie last night or two nights ago and today, I was scouring the internet for a version of the soundtrack because I love this soundtrack.
Yeah.
This soundtrack was one of the best Kung Fu soundtracks I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Not like the big budget, flying Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and all that kind of stuff. But it was great.
I like the Kung Fu soundtracks where they steal like prog rock from like ELP,
Star Wars,
like, you know, those are the ones that I like. This was actually well done.
No, this was great.
Yeah,
it matched the sound cues were matching the action and it evoked feeling. It was a unique experience for a kung fu movie. They're usually just like whatever, you know.
What do you got? I got this 45-year of like, you know, Donnie and Marie. Put it in.
You know,
there.
Like, who is Elvis Presley? Who cares? Rip it and grip it. Throw it on
there. There's a fight scene. Put it in the background.
But this was beautiful, and I could not find it anywhere, which was bothering me.
Did you look on eBay?
Yeah, I looked everywhere because I would buy it. I mean, I was hoping for a record, but I would have bought this in any format, and I couldn't find it. Nowhere, and that's the way.
It doesn't exist.
A lot of these are just they were.
Are you sure the music from this wasn't taken from a big budget movie? You should investigate that. You know, I'll ask.
Ask your sources because just say you know, the movie was okay, but I love that soundtrack. Oh my god, I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's such a rarity with kung fu movies. The music is almost a secondary afterthought. Like they really go into the Foley work, you know. It's like choreographs and Foley work is really what a kung fu movie is based around.
I always,
you know,
wondered, was those sound effects, are those the original Hong Kong sound effects, or are those added in by the
I think they're most of them are original.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure again your kung fu expert might clarify on that.
Yeah.
But they're oftentimes they're so like noticeable and jarring. They take center stage almost over the actors in some of these movies where you watch it and you're just like the meat slappers are going and the fluttering and all that kind of stuff, and it's just crazy, and then you know they just dubbing whatever, and just like, oh, you, I'll get you, and you bastard, and you know, it's just crazy. You're like, oh my god, you know. This one was heavy on the action,
and a strange story.
Strange story, and again, confusing.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not the only one.
No.
It was confusing.
You get lost a lot because oftentimes they set it up where good guys are in black, bad guys are in gray. Go, good
like guys.
Good guys are the guys, the monks with the dots down their
Silent
head.
Monks.
Bad guys have the hats on. Go, you know.
This, and of course, all the time, Japanese.
Always
are
Japanese.
Bad.
The Japanese are always the devil in these movies, but in this one, they were kind of loosey goosey with everything.
Yeah.
There was treachery, and there was backstabbing, and then there was two different Japanese, there was three different monks, and then you had people pretending to be monks, and then you had people carrying a casket that were like...
And then the ending was kind of weird, because I don't know, maybe I burned it onto a DVD, maybe it stopped before
nope.
it was supposed to end.
Nope,
because oh.
I looked it up online, the only thing you miss on yours is the end. I could not believe the ending of this movie. It doesn't end. Carter Wong ain't dead. And he's like, oh, it's in the handle.
And where's Angela Mao? She going to the drink.
She didn't die. Angela Mao can't die. Because I was exactly the same as you. I was like, well, damn it, this cut off. Now I have to go find
it. That's what I thought.
And I went in the morning and I'm scouring. I was like, huh, nope. That's the end. Yeah.
Which,
oh, and
there's one scene where I think she says it.
There is
times.
More humps per square inch than any other movie
her,
I've ever seen.
Angela.
And him. Everyone starts swimming. So you know, this one is what year was it? 78?
78. Yeah.
Well, basically, we can always say 78, and we're gonna be about 6 months, one way or the other. If you're guessing the date of a kung fu movie, if it's not a new one, just go. I think 78. You're gonna probably be right.
78. Yeah.
The amount.
Bruce Lee's are earlier, obviously.
The amount that hit the market. From 76 through 79 was like a bell chart that went straight to the moon and straight down again in a 3-year period, you know.
And I mean, I could be wrong on this. I don't have my sensei to like talk to or whatever, you know. But who would know? I think a lot of these movies only play here in video. I can't believe that all this one might have hit the theaters, but I can't think that all of them.
I never remember a time where they did hit the theaters.
Oh yeah.
I mean, 70s? I'm sure that's the thing. I was too young, and they might not have hit where I was.
Oh, I mean, I go through
small town,
I go
nothing.
Through news archives, and I find ads for them or whatever. They played in where I used to live, and I go, oh, that's interesting. I mean, obviously the Bruce Lees and all that, but afterwards, yeah, you know, a lot of them played, but. Obviously, New York, you know, Madison, Times Square, all that
stuff. Yeah, because not in Podunk Nowhere. Where
but
I
a lot of things came out on video just to flood the market, you know? And you keep seeing that Ocean Shore little sea, the Seahorse logo that pops up every once in a while.
Yep.
So this was obviously from a videotape.
Yeah.
And
the other thing was, because when I was a teenager, what was hitting the market was Van Damme. Marked for Death. 80s. Because there was a resurgence in the 80s from Van Damme and Seagal.
Oh, no. These movies were all 70s.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, but, like, those... I don't remember those being in the theaters. Not that they weren't, but I don't remember it. Mid-80s, like, it started getting hot again because it was a mashup of action with some martial arts.
Sure.
You know, Jackie Chan was always... He's been popular forever. So you had that kind of thing where it was a resurgence was hitting the movie theaters, which is great. You know, and then it died down, and then it picked up again with the super kung fu, wire fu stuff. You know,
yeah, crouching dragon, and all that kind of stuff.
Hidden Hulk. So Ang Lee's Hidden Hulk, crouching
sadness.
Yeah, no.
73 to 79. That probably was like you know, big time.
Couldn't keep up.
And they would always play like in the downtown theaters where you could. Yeah. You know, occasionally they would play in your local.
We gotta get your friend. We gotta get your friend on air.
Sensei's not gonna come.
Oh, that's so sad. He would be a great addition.
All right, let's
take a quick trailer break, and we come back on to the movie, The Legendary Strike. That's the worst ever. Ki. Oh man.
Prepare yourself for the most frightening experience of your life. They came from within. A motion picture that takes you beyond your wildest nightmares. They came from within. If this picture doesn't make you scream and squirm, you'd better see a psychiatrist. Quick. They came from within. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
All right, we're back. That was... what did I just play? They came from within.
Oh, yeah, that's a... Oh, God, it's a rough movie, dude.
It's a kung fu movie.
No, it's not.
No, it's not at all.
It's gross as hell is what it is.
Well, we're not going to watch that one.
No.
Then.
Well, maybe one day.
No, how about we don't?
Barbra Steele's in it.
How about we don't? Anyway, this is Kung Fu Theater, and we're on to the legendary strike. Now, we start off Carter Wong sitting there in a very... he's adorned with really nice clothing.
Is he the emperor or
something?
He's
the prince. He's the prince.
He's the little prince.
Yeah. And he's sitting there, and there's some deal going on because there's lots of bowing and whatever. And then he's like, And he gives a pearl to this Japanese guy, and he's like, oh, okay, great, thanks, and our deal is concluded, and he leaves, and then the guy goes directly to his room, and Carter Wong kind of sneaks around and watches him where he puts this magic pearl.
Yeah,
and they keep referring to this thing as the Shaolin relic.
Yeah,
so you're like, oh, it's a pearl, but it must be more. It must have something on it. They don't even elaborate on that. It's just the thing that everyone's after. That's
yeah, everybody wants this. Like, they're killing each other for this thing.
Yeah, it's the briefcase in Pulp Fiction that has the gold in it, or the light in it. You know, you're like...
Basically, it's like this pearl or whatever it is has, like, so valuable that they can rule the world with it or something like that.
Yeah, it has all power in all of the world. And I was thinking, I don't think...
By the way, that briefcase from Pulp Fiction was in Kiss Me Deadly, remember? The My Camera movie, remember at the end when it started, like, blowing up?
So there you go. And then this guy leaves, and they're like, okay, well, thanks for our business. Nothing treacherous is going to happen to you. And then he leaves. So now the guy's along this trail, as they often are in these movies, just kind of walking along a trail.
The woods,
on the mountain pass, you know. And he sees a Shaolin monk come towards him, and he's like, oh, Buddha bless you. Do you have any money for me? And he's like, no, sorry, get out of here, dude. And the guy's like, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to kill you. He's like, wait, you're not Shaolin or Buddhist or something like that. And he starts trying to fight him. Just breaks out right off the bat into a kung fu movie.
Yeah.
I mean, right to it. Fighting. Good fighting. And this guy's kind of really going heavy. He has a sword, and he's like going after him. He's like, hey, I didn't think Shaolin used swords. And he's like, well...
You're not really Shaolin.
He's like, shut up, kind of. You know,
shut up your face.
Yeah, shut up your face. I'll show him from the mafia. So then he's like, he's chopping at him, and is this when the other guy comes in, or is this...
I think he kills him.
He kills him first, okay.
And then the other guy shows up.
So the guy, he kills the Japanese guy, and he can't find the pearl, or the relic.
Yeah.
And then a second...
Shaolin monk.
A Shaolin monk, who's actually a Shaolin monk, comes along. He's like, hey... You're kind of not a Shaolin monk.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I am. I'm just from some other place. And he's like, no, I don't think you are. In fact, I know who you are because you're the henchman. You're the golden sword or the henchman of some guy because he knew exactly who he was. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I'll get you. And then they start fighting. But then, like, the guy runs away. He
kills him, I think. The real Shaolin monk kills the other guy.
He kills the other guy. And, because now, who steals the body? Oh, my God. See, we're already losing it.
See, yeah, no, this is totally, totally, totally confusing. Yeah. There's the whole movie is basically like...
Oh, because now he's recovering, and he goes down, and he searches the monk that's been... The fake monk.
Yeah, he searches... Yeah, right.
And while he's doing that, another guy who knows, who sees his body, he's like, oh, there's a ransom for this guy. I'm going to take him and get the ransom. He leaves with the body, so now he's like, where'd that body go? So now there's a dude walking along, and he hires some people to carry the body for him in a casket, and he's taking it for the bounty. He almost doesn't care, but then he finds out he does care. He's playing it off like he's just a bounty hunter, and he's taking this body in for...
Cause he's like, he really wants the pearl.
He really wants the pearl.
Everybody wants the pearl.
And shenanigans ensue pretty bad, because the monk is like, you give him to me because I want to bury my brother. He's a shell. And they go into this little like fight thing, and the monk kind of gets beat pretty, I want to say easily, but I mean, he's no match for this guy that's carrying him. He's really whoops him, and he's like, okay, thank you for this lesson. And he leaves. But then he follows him like the guy from the Seven Samurai. Remember the one that was always following him? Like a couple.
I didn't see the movie.
Oh, sorry. There's one of the guys.
I saw Magnificent Seven though.
Same thing. There's one that's like an outcast that kind of follows along.
Yeah.
But turns out to be a good guy. So this guy's following him, and they happen upon a little hotel or a little place to stay along this path. And they put the casket there, and he's like, okay, you guys carrying the casket, you can sit here in the stable and eat. I'm going to go in here and eat. And then the monk comes in, but then another guy comes in, right?
Yeah, this is really, it gets real confusing.
Like, another guy who's like a member of the Carter Wong's court.
Yes.
Comes in, he's
the
like...
The guy with the black hair.
Yeah, the black hair. He's like, hey, who has this casket out here?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's the one guy in there. And he's like, oh, okay. And then the Japanese guy shows up. Yeah. So then Angela Mao shows up. So now you have, like, you're in this little place. And this isn't where the movie ends, but it's, I think the majority of it, like, if it goes back to here, then it goes away from here, then it comes back from here. It hurts your head kind of keeping up with this movie. And then this is, again, we've watched three movies this week. One of them was a kind of a simple plot line. The other two were really tough to follow.
Yeah,
and this falls into them. And this is not unlike a lot of kung fu movies. They're almost either too simplistic or they're trying to say too much.
Yeah.
This falls into the secondary category because... Okay. Angela Mao... Okay, he leaves in the morning carrying the casket. And when he leaves, and the other guy comes out, he's like, hey, whose casket is this? I don't know. And they open it up, it's a different body. He's like, oh, they must have confused it. So now the monk runs after them and says, hey, you have the wrong casket. That's my casket. Trying to pull the old switcheroo. They open up the casket, and Angela Mao's in it. And she's like, you told me... Okay, they're kind of arguing. Then the Carter Wong's henchman shows up, and she's like, oh, this guy said he knew where it was. And she's pulling, like, such a fast one on everyone.
Yeah, everybody's trick. Yeah.
And it's funny, because she's a really good actress, and she's really good doing this. And she's like, he said he was going to show me where the body was, but I just had to be in this casket or whatever. Like
some story.
Some
yeah.
goofy story. And then they start fighting, and she leaves. And it turns out she's part of the resistance against Carter Wong. And there's like there's these elaborate tunnels where they go down into a well. But that's later. Now the Buddhist monk is kind of on the hook with where this body is. And the guy and our hero is there, and he's like, well, I just want my other body. I just want the reward. So then you fast forward to Angela Mao, and she's like talking to her leaders, saying, "Oh, he know he's on to us or something like that. Maybe he might be resistance." And she's like, "I don't know."
This whole movie, I'm going to stop for a second and go on a thing about it or whatever. I, throughout all the time that we've watched these movies, we've watched hundreds of movies during our
podcast.
That's
not a lie. Easily hundreds.
You can tell which filmmakers I can't specifically say which ones are best at doing it. You can tell when they have a grasp of the story.
They're painting a
picture. And the
story
just flows. And you can tell when the movie just got out of hand and they just kind of lost it or whatever. You know, and this movie kind of does it a little bit. This almost seems like a Leone Western in how convoluted it is. But I think Leone was able to like kind of make it a little easier. Maybe it was because of even though it was complicated, it was a simpler story. But this one is like all blackmailing and who's who and what's what or whatever. And the dubbing doesn't help.
And the characters don't help. Leone's characters are so interesting in themselves.
Yes.
Every one of them is like, look at this guy. Tell me about this guy. Wow, he's weird looking or cool looking.
Yeah, everybody's distinct.
Where
in this movie, it's like... you know, you kind of get lost in the people because it's like one Japanese guy, one Chinese guy. The girl is the only one that's distinctive from everybody else, you know, because there's Angela Mao. Everybody else is like some dude, and they're all after this, like, you know, this pearl or whatever the heck it is or whatever. So you get, like, this movie, again, lost in translation. So there's some problem in the translation or whatever, yeah. You know. So, I mean, I got lost the same way with you.
The middle section is a mess.
It's really a mess. It's a well-made movie, and it's kind of different from some of the other, because this isn't Shaolin Temple against Shaolin Temple.
No.
I'm going to get revenge because you killed my family or
you can tell this
like
is influenced by the Leonis, by the Westerns and the storytelling.
Or influenced by Kurosawa, because those movies were influenced by Kurosawa. They tried to do more, but I think it was like maybe a little bit of ham-fisted dubbing or editing or something like that, you know?
I think, it just misses something. Because I like the beginning of it is fine. That is almost standard, and Carter Wong's great, and it's a great set, and it tells you right what's going to happen. And the ending is action-packed, but this middle section, which is, you know, it's like 20%, 20%, this is the 60%, is like, what am I looking at now? How are they here now? You know, when you talk about the 36 chambers, or even like, oh my God, like the Master of the Flying Guillotine, it is like, hey, I'm going to that tournament now. Tournament, fight, fight, fight. Hey, you disrespected my family. We're gonna fight tonight. You know, like it is like here. Story dead. The end.
That's right.
And it's so like, and they're just tight, and the fighting is crazy, and you're like, oh my God, I can't look away. Well, this one is like, what am I? Look, you don't know what you're looking at, and you're trying to figure it out while they're telling
there's
you.
There's too much political intrigue going on. For a B movie.
A B Kung Fu
movie.
That's why, yeah.
That is why we pick these movies, because we want simple entertainment.
I'm a simple guy, and I want simple Kung Fu.
I want simple Kung Fu. I mean, this isn't Shakespeare or anything like that, but it does get real Machiavellian or whatever in the middle of it. You're like losing track of who's who.
You're like, what the hell am I looking at here?
Yeah, Carter Wong comes back again. And
there was a couple of times, believe it or not, I actually mixed up the innkeeper with Angela Mao like once or twice.
That's right,
because she came running in and she's like, oh my God, they're finding out about it. And you're like, wait, oh, then because then she came in, I was like, holy hell, I thought that was Angela Mao, because it wasn't. They
and
were dressed the same.
She doesn't look like her at all. But
No. But you just, the things she's saying, you think would be said by Angela Mao, and you're like, yeah. And because then the resistance had like two or three dudes fluttering around, and then there's that guy that was up on the post. Who is he? Who knows? I don't know. You know. So we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we're gonna figure this mess out together, man. Just hang with us.
Yes.
Legendary Strike, Carter Wong. That's all you gotta know. Angela Mao. That's really all you gotta know.
It's hillbilly hookers and hot-headed truckers coming your way in Redneck County, where the sheriff is meaner than a junkyard dog.
Boy, when I get my hands on your, I'm gonna put it under the jail.
White lightning, wild women, and a couple of good old boys who got a plan to stick it to the man. They're boozing, brawling, and blasting their way across Redneck County with Alex Karras as Smokey. Redneck County, rated PG. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right, we're back. Game over, man. So we kind of figured this out. So, okay, so now we understand that Angela Mao and the innkeeping family and a couple other stragglers are a part of the resistance. And the other guy who actually, the guy who took the body also was with a different
group
of the resistance. But they're the same fighters. They're just different like parts of them. So now they're like, oh, okay, I didn't know if I could trust you, but now we can trust you. We can work together. Yay for that. The other guy, the Japanese guy, is just a Japanese guy that's coming back for his brother.
Yeah.
His samurai brother got killed, and that's not going to float. I know Japanese. That ain't floating. Yeah. So he's there just to kind of figure out who to kill. And then Carter Wong and his goons get the body, and they're like, okay, now we got the body, and they search it, and they're like, there's no, the relic isn't here, the pearl, and they check his hair, they check blah, 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 so they're like, oh, they cut him open, and there you go, so now they find it. Now, Carter Wong takes this and he's like, oh, it's a fake. And he keeps it. Now, at this point, I thought Carter Wong was going to, it's a fake, and like pop it or crush it in his fingers.
But he keeps
it. He doesn't. He keeps it. And you're like, now, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, but whatever. So now they go and they find, they also go and they find out where this tunnel is down the well. And they go in there and they string one guy up for the, from the resistance. They're like, we're going to kill you unless you come and bring the real relic, because they're convinced that this is a fake. And all the resistance is like, this isn't right, and also, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
He has the relic. He has the body. What's he talking about?
Yeah, what's he talking about? Yeah.
So they kind of get they're beat up. All the guys get killed except for Angela Mao and our hero. And they kind of, they like run away after this big sword fight, you know, and they like the Carter Wong dispatches them pretty easily. So does his first in charge, the guy with the black hair, is a really good fighter.
He's
beating up everybody, and they're trashing this place. So those two get away, and they just like kind of hole up by along a riverbed, and kind of just nursing their wounds. And he still has his broken off sword. The samurai sword gets just split in half by Carter Wong, which I will say for the record, I have both of those kind of swords. No way. The Chinese flexible swords are really nice, but they're flexible blades.
Right, they won't cut
through.
There's
no way in the world one of those would ever snap a samurai sword, unless it's the cheapest samurai sword in the world and the other one is reinforced with another samurai sword. Anyway, so basically, but whatever, it's a movie. So they're still kind of pursuing them, but you know, it's just one of those things where they're like, well, they got away. They're recuperating. I forget what happens now. Do they go back to save the guy or did they find them again?
Oh God.
I can't remember. They burn a guy at the they hang a guy up and then they burn him, and then they come back to fight, like saying, you know, they convince themselves that he still has the relic,
yeah,
and they go back and fight, and Angela Mao takes on the general, the guy with the black hair.
You're talking about the end of the movie.
Yeah, this is the end of the movie.
Yeah. Carter Wong takes on the guy.
We might have missed a scene, but I can't even remember it.
No, Carter Wong takes on Angela Mao, doesn't he? And the other guy is...
Oh, right. Because, and that, I think there's actually two bad guys, but he doesn't manage to kill... Our hero manages to kill one guy. And he's fighting with a broken-off samurai sword, but he's still fighting. He's going like crazy. Because then as soon as he fights him, then the guy with the black hair comes in.
Yeah.
This is almost like it was filmed in two different places because they're not in the same scene.
No, they're not.
Carter Wong and Angela Mao are doing their own thing. And this is like, they're making it seem like it's the same movie, but it's obviously either two movies or it's just they were filmed at different times because they're scheduling conflicts or whatever.
Something like that.
Carter Wong is fighting Angela Mao along the river or on the mountaintop, but there's a river below. And he's winning.
He's winning.
And he's beating her pretty bad.
She kind of escapes or something like that, doesn't she?
Well, she just
yeah, she's like.
They do come up. She runs away, but then they happen upon where our hero's fighting because she's the one that ends up with the relic.
So
the guy he's fighting a guy that has a flying claw on a chain. We forgot that little part.
And then he's like jumping on his shoulders
and he's throwing this. He has this little hand claw that delivers poison spikes because Angela Mao got it in the beginning
earlier
of the movie.
Earlier on in the movie, and he saved her from.
Yeah, so he gets popped with that, but then he takes the samurai sword and unravels the bottom of it and starts whipping it, and they like kind of tangle in midair, and it takes the thing. While he does that, the bottom of the samurai sword comes off, and the relic drops out.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh my God. And Angela Mao grabs it. Like, everyone's running for it. She grabs it and takes off. Carter Wong flips out and starts beating her a little bit more, but then she just, like, does this backflip off the mountain.
Yeah, she does, like,
into the river.
Cassidy or something in the river.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then the other guy ends up beating the...
Our hero beats the general, but, like, with this crazy... He does, like, a handstand on his head and then, like, flips around and kills him. And he kills him. And he starts walking away, and this is one of the weirdest, most broken endings I've ever seen in my life. You don't see Angela Mao. Our hero has just killed the bad general.
You don't see Carter Wong anymore either.
No, right? we do, because he goes... He's standing there, and he starts thinking, he's like, the relic is in the handle, and he remembers the guy, like, wrapping it, like, so... the one that fell out of the bottom of the samurai sword is a fake, and the real one was the one that was in the wrap.
Okay. But then he's... But then that's it.
That's it. They... Carter Wong remembers this. Our hero, you don't know if he has the sword or not, and it cuts to the end.
And he doesn't even say the end.
I went and found it online. The one online said the end. It was like a red thing that said the end. And you're like, wait, what? Like, you honestly don't know how this ends. This is a movie with no ending.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It was really weird. It was one of the weirdest. I've seen smash cuts. I've seen those quick endings where they cut off any. There's no credits. There's nothing. You don't even know who was in these things.
Yeah, because I was left knowing, did she really get the real relic, or didn't she? Did she live, or did she die? I mean, that was a pretty big jump.
Yeah, we don't know if Angela Mao lived or died. I assumed she lived, but you're kind of thinking she didn't. I'm also thinking that the relic she got and the relic that Carter Wong got were both fakes, and the real one was the one that was kind of tied into the handle, like where... But we don't know. We've never seen that. We don't see it fall out. We don't know who has it. We don't even know if it's still there anymore.
So this movie hurt our heads.
It was bad. I mean, I liked it, except for the major distractors of, like, what am I watching here? What is... It wasn't like that one that I hated because the camera work was so terrible you couldn't even understand what it
was. No, this was good camera work.
Good camera work. Great choreography. Good actresses and actors. It was just trying to say a whole hell of a lot, and this is just a kung fu movie. You're saying maybe a lot was lost in translation. Maybe this is a whole different story.
Maybe they
edited
the hell out of it even though it was an hour and 26 minutes, you couldn't have taken that much out of it. Yeah, it was a pretty long to begin with. 70. That's about the right time for 1978.
So, yeah, it was a perfect. It was almost like it was missing the last minute.
Yeah, you kind of felt like, okay, what's the resolution here?
That's why I went back and searched it out the next day. I searched it online. I'm like looking. I found it two different places. It just says the end.
After that scene where he just like walks down and ends right there.
Yeah.
And Carter Wong says what he says. Oh, well, I think it's on the other plate.
It's in the handle. Huh.
Maybe they were setting it up for a sequel. I have no idea.
You'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean... It wasn't that good, you know. It wasn't bad, but
they spent money on it, you know. It wasn't the cheapest one.
And you also, you don't know if something's going to hit or not, really, you know.
Because I
was enjoying it, but also just kind of like, you know. Sadly, that's the way a lot of these go for me. Like I watch them and I'm like, well, this falls into like this vat of just kung fu. Where I couldn't even tell you what movie they're from because they're so similar.
I mean, this is similar to that Jimmy Wang Yu we watched, but that was a better movie.
Because they also...
Blood of the Dragon.
They had the kid and they had the love interest, so there was like almost a reason for doing this.
Yeah,
he always had that white with that great spear work, so he was...
And this is not a bad movie. I would say check it out, but, you know, you're going to be real disappointed with the ending of it.
Yeah, it's just weird.
And if you do watch it, and you see and you figure out the plot, you know, make sure to tell us, because we kind of got lost a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
watching this and the Beastmaster, you know, after it is kind of a disconcerting...
For those of you who don't know, we also have a couple other podcasts. If you go to bunchofdorks.com, you'll see... we have one called Slow Robot A Go Go, which is a B movie review podcast. And then the middle one is a Two Dimension podcast where I'm not on that one, but Dr. Morbius comic books and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and also we do, there's the Indie Circuit on Radio St. Pete, which is us as well. So just, check those out and you'll see, like, we do a lot of movies. This one was just kind of really confusing. I mean, I'm gonna have to go with a 6 out of 10 just because I was
like,
a lot of the time, you know.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, maybe my head hurt after the Beastmaster. No, I watched this one first. This one made my head hurt. The Beastmaster made it
knocked
hurt
you
worse.
Out. This was, the Beastmaster was
Mama a, said knock you
the,
out.
The Beastmaster was a Mike Tyson
Beastmaster
right
said knock
hook.
You out.
So, yeah.
Two movies that are actually somewhat well made. They look like they're, you know, they're not like cheesy. I mean, they're not really, but there was something. I think they were trying too hard to do something that they couldn't do really well, you know? Make it simple. Keep it simple. We have simple minds.
Exactly.
You know? We like simple things, you know? Don't get too convoluted because then it becomes like, I'm kind of losing interest here a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what happened in the middle section of this. Just fell asleep. I mean, yeah. I didn't literally fall asleep, but my brain said, you can stay here, but I'm leaving.
And, what happens is my brain goes like, I'm not going to go back and watch this section here. I'm just going to keep going, and hopefully there's going to be a resolution. I'm going to go, oh, that's why that happened. Because a better movie will give you very confused throughout two-thirds of it, and then at the very end, it's going to go like, oh, I get it now. It's this and this and this now.
Nope.
Especially with that ending. It was like, no.
Yeah, but, well.
Hey, well, that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes this week on Kung Fu Theater. We'll see you next week with...
with something less convoluted.
Probably
maybe?
Something a little bit easier on the brain. My name is Matt, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
See you next week, everyone. Keep fighting.
There was a mushroom. Sad little mushroom. There was a meadow. Ready to cry. There was a sparrow. Gray little sparrow. There was an eagle. Silent and high, and the Lord said, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said laugh, children laugh, the Lord said laugh, children laugh, the Lord said laugh, laugh, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you a world of joy from out of the blue, and all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yeah. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy. And then there was laughter, wonderful laughter, for he created a girl and a boy. And the Lord said, oh, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, 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 laugh.
Sure, kid. And you know, I never felt any more like laughing than I do right now.